Okay. Last week, we were discussing some of the tangential issues to a lot of the assisted reproductive technologies that we have nowadays. We were discussing, whoever was here and doesn't remember or wasn't here, we were discussing the idea if a man passes away while leaving over frozen embryos, frozen sperm, etc., how does that affect his wife's ability to do chalitza, etc.? I wanted to take a step back this week and just discuss in general the halachic issues regarding those technologies, not these oddball cases of chalitza, a typical case. Having children is a big deal in Judaism. If you look at the Gemara in Shabbos, number one, it says, Amar Rava, b'shash machlisim adam l'din, amar m'lo. When a person gets, after 120 years, when you go up to the pearly gates, there are a few questions they have for you. One, nasata v'nasata b'amuna. Were you honest in business? Kavata itim l'torah. Did you attend the Wednesday night shir? It's a rough translation. Yeah, more or less. Art school. Number three on the list is Asakta Beperia Rivia. Were you involved in having children?
And then not that you have children.
Correct. We'll get to that. See, Pisal Yeshua. Were you looking forward for the Mashiach to come? Pilpalta B'chochma. Havanta Dvavar B'tach Dvavar. You know, did you use your intellectual capabilities the way you were supposed to? So, Afil Hochi. Yiras Hashem Yotzrom. That ain't in Yilolom. The bottom line, he did this. If you're someone who had fear of heaven, you're in good shape. If not, not. But you see, on this short list, at the end of your life, I'm going to ask you to please sign a release before you do that.
I think it's slow.
Okay. So the Gemara in Shabbos is very clear in saying that one of the major questions a person's asked is, were you involved? Is it only men who get to ask this question, or the women as well? Do women share the list, or they have their own list? So if you look at the Gemara in Yevamos, it says that this whole mitzvah is only for men. It says, Ha'ish mitzuva al pi revav, a reviv alo ha'isha. The Mishnah says that only men have to have children, not women.
Are there been children, not women?
I never thought of that, Irving. I'm so glad.
I just ordered it right now.
Who needs them to have children? Rav Yochanan broke Omer al Shneim, who Omer v'yirach osam elokim, v'yom alhem elokim peruvu. So Rav Yochanan ben Broka disagrees. He says it's not true, men and women, to have to do this. Minon imili. So where does the Tanna Kamma get their idea that only men are required to have children and not women? Amar Rav Yilo, Mishum Rav Elazar ben Shimon, Amar Kra, Umolo Asaros v'Kivshua. What was Adam commanded? He said to fill up the world, to populate the earth, and to conquer it. Ishtar Kalichvosh, men go out to war, then Ishtar Kalichvosh, women don't do conquering. Adrava, v'Kivshua, Tartimash, v'Kivshua. Doesn't that sound pretty plural? Or Nachum Bar Yitzchak, v'Kavash, v'Kivshak, Siv. No, it's pronounced that way, but it's spelled v'kiv in singular. So the Gemara, it seems to be saying that it's a machokas between the Tanna Kamma and the Mishnah. You look at the Gemara in Bava Basra, also deals with the same question about whether women are required to do the mitzvah of Pururavu. It says, Meisvei Misha Chachiv Evid V'chachiv Ben Chorin. This is an oddball case. So it used to be that you could buy yourself an Evan, right? I could buy an Evan Ivri, an Evan Kanani, a Jewish slave, a non-Jewish slave. Each one has different rules. So what if somebody was purchased as a slave by two partners? And one partner said you can go free now, and the other said no. So how do you handle this half-slavery situation? That's the question. So Ovidus Rabbo Yom Echad Ves Asma Yom Echad. So on Monday I'm a slave, on Tuesday, not so much. Right? That's how it goes. Wednesday, yes, Thursday, no. Wait a second. That works for the owners, right? So half the days he'll work at them. But how about him personally? Is he a slave or not? There's a problem here. Right?
Which mitzvahs he's obligated to.
Correct. When Jews took in slaves in the non-Jewish world, they converted them. I think there's a fair amount of discussion about slave owners in the South actually doing that. That there were a lot of blacks who in the South before the Civil War who were actually quasi-converted before they were taken into slavery. Now, according to that, if a man is taken into slavery, a non-Jewish man, he actually is chayv in mitzvos like a woman, which means he has to do pretty much all the mitzvos.
Except the mitzvos haseishas man grama.
Right. There aren't that many of them. If you ever try to list off how many mitzvos haseishas man grama are, and then you lop off the exceptions, right? Shabbos doesn't count, right? Right, the assays of Pesach doesn't count, Chanukah doesn't count, Purim doesn't count. You don't have that many left. Right? So basically, even an Eved Kanani had to do many. But the question is, who could this person marry?
What, the half-half.
Right. Right. Because the rule was as follows. A Eved Kanani cannot marry a full Jew. However, he can marry a Shifcha Kananis. However, a full Jew cannot marry Shifra Kananis. So this guy, half of him can't marry a regular woman, but can marry a Shifra Kananis. The other half of him is has the other problem. So this is great. This every other day thing works out real nicely for the owners, but he's still in Gehak
Tzaris. Don't the rabbis make him turn him free?
Huh? Well, let's see.
I'm not there yet.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert here. Shh. Gave that man a sheet to keep him quiet. So he said, Lisa Isha Leshifcha Eino Yachol. He can't marry a Shifcha. Lisa Baschor and a free woman Eino Yachol. So Yivatos, he's not going to have any children, poor guy. Right? The purpose of this world is to populate it.
Why are we concerned with the slave repopulating? Half slave, half not. Why are we concerned with that?
Because they're people too.
But they're not but they're not Jews. Why would we be concerned with
they're,
that?
What? What? Well, again, well, half of him is a full Jew, and the other half is a most Jew. This guy's like 95% Jew. If I had to...
Wait a minute. When did we say he was a Jew?
He said
he became a slave.
When he's
he was
free?
Brought as a slave.
Well, he's brought as a slave. He already has a certain status.
He gets a bris, I think.
Right. Yes. Right. He and he, with that he
is
eats
this,
kosher.
Is this? What if it's against his will? I mean, I'm assuming
slaves don't have too much will.
Exactly. So they're slaves. So
dems the breaks.
I'm saying. So we okay.
Yeah.
Right. So once he's freed, he has to do all the mitzvahs.
All the mitzvahs.
Just the ones that
right.
He can do.
Right, so you understand why he might want to just kind of hang back and enjoy slavery.
Or move somewhere else.
It reminds me of one time I went to the Stern dinner, and the master center was Ben Brafman. People know Ben Brafman?
Yes.
Right? Ben Brafman, he's a well-known attorney. So he got up to speak, and he said, you know, these dinners are usually just so boring. I decided to call one of my clients and ask him, would he please come and speak? So I called up P. Diddy, or whatever his name was at the time, and said, no, I want you to come down for me. I want you to speak at a dinner. So he said, why should I do it? He said, because it wouldn't be for me. You'd be sitting in jail right now. So he said, okay, that makes sense. He said, tell me about the dinner. He said, you know, it'll be a bunch of rabbis who'll be making speeches. He said, I'd rather sit in jail. You know, not that you mention it. Right? Ella Kofinus Rabba Vosa So Ben Chorin. So as Irving obviously read ahead, they let him go. Whatever he owes, he'll have to owe half of his value to the other owner, and he gets goes. Why? Because again, there's this mitzvah peruravu. This mitzvah again, how do we paskin? The Shulchan Aruch says isha ainu mitzvah al piri v'ribya. Women don't have to have children; only men. Now that being said, I think people have picked up on the fact that. Right now, scientifically, women have a better chance of having children without men than men do without women, right? Because cloning would be women having children on their own, and men having children on their own would be fiction, right? I think there's an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie like that, that's as far as we've gotten in the science, right? So now, why would we begin discussing this? Well, this is an important base one. Why? Any reproductive technology that we're going to get involved with going forward is going to have halachic issues, right? We're just doing an overview. We're not going to discuss all of them, but to throw out a few of them, how do you procure sperm? So biologically, that's not very difficult to do. Halachically, however, it is, right? If you remember way back in Parshas Vayishlach, Er and Onan, who gave rise to the word of Onanism, right? They spilled their seed, and for that they were put to death. They actually get a shout out in this week's Parsha as well, right? So therefore, halachically, there is a problem in getting it. Similarly, oftentimes, if a woman is undergoing, let's say, a regiment of hormone injections, so oftentimes this regiment will involve giving shots on Shabbos, which is a problem potentially of chavala, drawing blood. So that's another prospect. She might have to undergo an ultrasound on Shabbos to see when her follicles are ready, right? That also could have a problem. So the only way that we can really get off the ground here is in the event that there is an offset, right? Okay, there is a problem with X, Y, or Z. However, that's counterbalanced by? Right, so you'd want it to be peruvu. So for the man, he's got his peruvu, but what about the woman? Right? So she does not have the mitzvah of peruvu, would seem according to the simple reading. So based on that, you're going to have a problem that whenever there's anything on the usher side, it will have to be usher because there's no counterbalance. Right? You tell me that it's a mitzvah rabbah, right? That we're allowed to sell a sefer Torah in order for someone to get married and have children. Okay, but that's only for the man. The woman doesn't have this mitzvah. So the Ran has a chiddush, which Irving could have been the Ran. He points out that men do need women to have children. It's amazing how he come up with that, right? Right. What does he say? He says as follows. So again, we mentioned this. I don't remember why, but we mentioned the idea. The Gemara is the concept of a mitzvah bo yosef b'shulcha. Right. We have spoken about the idea that I can do a mitzvah or I can send someone to do a mitzvah for me. Right. We mentioned, and I remember regarding the bris, whether the father has to do the bris or not. So the question is, Gemara says, not only that, I can not only do a shliach to do a bris, etc., I can have a shliach go marry a woman for me. Right? Here I am, it's getting close to my chasana date. And I haven't lost enough weight to fit into tuxedo yet. So what am I going to do? I'll get the right size shliach, he'll put on tuxedo, he'll take the pictures, and I'll be married.
Yeah. Okay with me.
So the Gemara says, technically that would work. But mitzvah bo yosef b'shulcha. When it comes to doing a mitzvah, you should do it yourself. And what about her? What if she doesn't fit into the dress?
She can also make a shliach.
Right? However, mitzvah bo yosef b'shulcha. So the Rami asked the question that many people ask. I understand for him it's a mitzvah to get married for the sake of peruvu. Fresh days. Why do you mean mitzvah bo yosef b'shulcha? Where's her mitzvah? Right? Mitzvah bo. It's better for her to do a mitzvah herself. What mitzvah are we talking about? She's not chayav in peruvu. So the Ran comes up with a general rule, which is a fascinating rule, which can be applied in many places. He says, in the event that you have a certain mitzvah, which you cannot do without my help, in that case, I get a part of the mitzvah. So, for example, let's say we're doing pidyon habein. Right? So again, and you'll be the kohen. Well, pretend a little bit. You're really a kohen. I'm not doing a pidyon habein. Right? So
you're not going to give me really $5 either.
We could, but that's as far as it goes. So whose mitzvah is to be poda b'no?
Father.
Well, the father. Does the kohen get a mitzvah? Well, he just gets $5. Right, so a lot of people say that there's an idea. Right, because on the flip side, when we spoke about Birchas Kohanim, who's mitzvah to do Birchas Kohanim? Who gets Kohanim. The mitzvah? The Kohanim. But without Yisraelim,
nobody to bless.
Right. That's it. Yeah. Don't worry. So even the Gabbai says Yivarech Osi. So this is the idea of the Ran, that even though technically women are not chayiv in peru revu, practically they are a part of the mitzvah. Since they are part of the mitzvah, they in fact do get, since they're a necessary, irreplaceable part of the mitzvah, they get part of it. So according to the Ran, women also are chayiv in Puruvu through this backdoor way. Very interesting, because this becomes very, very important. I believe someone pointed out, I think Yitzhak pointed out when we did, it says, doesn't say kiyamta period of yeah? Tell me, were you mekayim the mitzvah? It says asakta. That's a very odd statement. Right. So,
did
what,
you involve yourself? No, not did you have kids?
Right. So
did you try?
Right. So Rabbi Bleich is very into this idea, and it has a lot of merit to it. That a person goes and he tries for many years to have children, and he's just not successful, or he tries for many years and he has only boys, or he has only girls. Right. So in both of those cases, right, as it says in number 6, you need a boy and a girl. Or v'nekeva kaim mitzvahs period v'rivia. Right? You need a boy and a girl. So, Nachum Meir Esim, you go up there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Tevya, Slavchud. No.
No.
So Tevya, Slavchud,
yes,
right? Right. No. Dufrex Meir. Me, you're asking? You think I got rid of them? What do you think happened? Right? So the idea is asakta. There's no mitzvah to have a boy and a girl. There's a mitzvah to do what you have to do. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides you're going to have all boys, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides you're going to have all girls, if even HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides you're not going to have any children, it's not a lack of, it's not your problem. You can still say asakti b'peri v'rivia. Now, does it require heroic methods? If a person's trying to have children and they're not successful, do they have to undergo IVF, whatever, in order to have children? Is that a chiyuv? No. You've got to do what's normal. And beyond that, there's no chiyuv. Right? Now that, of course, is a good statement in terms of being mekayim the mitzvah. On the other hand, again, you're back on the other problem. The whole mitzvah is asakta, even for men. Right? So a man and woman, they're married for 5, 10, 15 years, and they're not having children. They go to a fertility specialist and says it's a problem with the fallopian tubes, it's the egg quality, it's an inadequate uterus, whatever they say it is.
Slow sperm.
Right? Low motility on the sperm.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll spread the wealth. Right?
Thank
right?
You.
Right? Low sperm count, whatever it might be. Right? And therefore, we recommend the following. We recommend IVF with ICSI. It's all good. So there's no chiv to do it. You don't have to do it. Not the woman doesn't have to do it, not the man has to do it. So if that's the case, again, we're back to the problem. Yes, there's a mitzvah of pruruvu, but the mitzvah of pruruvu does not require this. You're not getting the mitzvah for this. Yes?
So does the person who doesn't have the problem have to get a divorce then?
So the person being the man or the woman?
I don't know. It doesn't. Oh, I guess the man's the only one who can choose to have a divorce.
No, I'm not saying differently. See, the woman has no obligation to have children.
Well, all right. Is the man obligated to find another wife so he can have children?
So you're saying that we know the woman has the problem.
Yeah.
So that aren't there
know?
Movies about this?
Wait a minute. What if you don't know?
Right.
You don't know whether it's a man or a woman.
So they say the doctors tell us that when it comes to infertility, it's 40% male factor, 40% female factor, 20% unknown. That I think that's the breakdown. So we remember from way back in Bereshis, that Avraham and Sarah, they're 10 years in Israel, they're not having children, now they get down to business. So based on that, the halacha is quoted that if a man spends 10 years without his wife with his wife and they're not having children, he's supposed to divorce her. We do what?
He's a sakta period.
But again, in the event that it's female factor, you're not Isaac. Let's say I marry a postmenopausal woman. And I say, I don't know why I'm not having children.
Let me explain it to you.
Yes?
What about the person in the ED? What's his obligation?
So again, the person is ED and therefore he's sterile. The person is ED and he can produce sperm. What?
Just ED.
Right. Again, if he's just ED, so I imagine he could still have children. I think.
But he has to go to more extraordinary methods. it's not working by the natural method.
Okay, but you know.
Mm-hmm. So he's involved in, he's right. trying, he's trying to do the normal mm-hmm. thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is there,
yes.
Is there anybody who Hoskins not like the Tanakhama and the Mishnah?
Yes. Yes. There are rare opinions that say women are chayav straight and peruvu. That's one of the answers to the question of mitzvah ba yoshel mi bishlucha. That it's clear it doesn't even get a footnote in the Shulchan Aruch, but there are opinions. Yes.
Yeah. What if the woman can't have children, which is a problem to the husband, and they want to implant, get somebody
in there. A surrogate.
Yeah.
Ah. You can rest for the next 20 minutes or so, we'll get up to it.
Okay. Not there yet.
So this, of course, makes problems. Because there are going to be halachic issues involved, and we're looking for a counterbalance.
But I heard a big chiddush here when Yossi asked you a question. And that is that osakta isn't just, did you do your best, did you try, did you do what comes naturally?
Mm-hmm.
It's... did you do naturally with someone who can be who's fertile?
Right. Again, did you do it in a way that should work?
Right.
You did everything, and she did everything the way it should work, but she's sterile.
Right. So then it's not going to work. You know, she had a hysterectomy.
Well, that's different.
You know,
it can't
guess
work.
Right.
But
right. So I thought what he was talking about. Like I said, a postmenopausal woman. It
and
can't work.
The basic question.
We could ask what he's asking,
Yeah, what are you asking? Osaka means involved.
Correct.
He's clearly involved.
But you're not involved if she's
katchila, you do it in a way where it cannot be done, and you're not really involved.
Right.
That's the terrorist.
Right, that's right. That's
the
idea.
You know certain things ahead of time.
So you answered to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, for 10 years, I was Osek. And then I found out she's sterile. What are you going to take away the 10 years of us?
No, okay, so again, technically what should happen is, okay, you did your best, but now you have to take, now you realize that you weren't. Now you got to go.
Hagar's door.
So when did it
worked become, last time.
When did it become not an obligation to divorce her and get another wife?
So again, the discussion, there are many reasons why not, but, part of the reason is as follows. There's a general rule that when it comes to a mitzvah, depends, is it a positive mitzvah or a negative mitzvah, how much do you have to give up? Right? The Shulchan Aruch says for a negative mitzvah, you have to give up all your money. Not your life, but your money. For a positive mitzvah, you only have to give up
a fifth
of the money. So the assumption is that a man loves a woman, she's worth more than a fifth. So we're talking here about a positive commandment. So therefore, he's not required. This isn't a negative commandment. Right? Hasn't quite. The movies still think it's happening. But in the... what? Yeah. We try to do outreach. So again, this is a strong statement. However, I think the counterbalance, I believe, is really written in the Netziv. The Netziv makes the following statement, which is fascinating. In the book of Shmuel, at the very beginning, you have one of the better known infertile women, Chana. Chana is not having any children. The co-wife, Penina, is just knocking them out of the park. Right? She's got 10 children. Clearly, this is female factor because her husband has lots and lots of kids, right? And obviously, she's in a significant state of depression. And therefore, the Gemara in Brachos tells us she turns to God and says, listen, God, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. It's your call. The easy way is you just give me children. The hard way is I'm going to make my husband, Elkanah, jealous. He's going to make me into a sota. We're going to go to the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to get rid of God's name. We're going to drink it. I'm not going to be a sota. And then there's a guarantee of children.
You have to give me kids, right?
Right. Ha! Then what? That's the story. What do you say about that, God? So the Tziv says, you can't do that to God. Wait a second. Yeah, you can't do that to God.
Well, you can do it to God with tzedakah, I think.
Tzedakah is one thing, but we're going to go and wipe out your name for it.
Yeah, that's severe.
Right, that's a little severe.
Heavy.
Right, so the Netziv makes the following statement, and it's a very powerful statement. He says, when Rachel doesn't have children, what does Rachel say to Yaakov? What are the words? Im ayin?
Mesa
anochi.
He says, atachat elokim.
Right. Yeah, but before, right, she says, he says, if I don't have children, I'm like dead. So the tzitz takes us literally. He said, for a woman not to have children, it's on the level of life and death. And therefore,
pikuach nefesh.
It's pikuach nefesh. Not having children is on the same level of pikuach nefesh. And therefore, she had a right to do it. That's a strong statement. So what happens here is, okay, so the counterbalance isn't pruruvu. Not for the man, not for the woman. But being childless, we realize that's a psychological hurt on such a level that Nitziv puts it up with pikuach nefesh. And therefore, that will allow us to counterbalance issues that certain issues that come up along the way. Not all, but there will be that in fact gives us some room. If you don't have that room, if you reject all this, if you say asakta means that you don't have to have children, you just have to try. And women for sure don't have to. And on top, you know, this is all you have to do, etc. And you reject the nativ, you're going to end up saying that you can't do any of this, as many people do. There are people out there who hold that this entire thing is awesome because you're going to run into a problem and there's no reason to let you out of the problem. Right? So really, step one is to figure out what are we doing here from a halachic point of view. Now, the most basic of technologies is artificial insemination. Artificial insemination is it's something that will be used on a sperm issue, right? Where the sperm just, you know, they're just past the beginner's test. They haven't done intermediate or lifesavers yet. They're not very good swimmers. So what you do is you give them a little push, right? Give them a running start. So you get a sample from the man, you put it through a centrifuge, because you don't want to get everything in there. And then you give it a little push further in than it would usually go. Okay? And, you know, in the case of someone with ED, this would be something you could do. That was the most basic technology they had. It was first used successfully on humans in 1790, I think I saw.
Really?
Which we say in English is mitapur yurtzurik. Right? So that goes back already because it's not really that's such a highfalutin technology. So the question is now also once you're doing that, you could do it with the husband's sperm, or in fact it works with anybody's sperm. So the question is if this happens. So here we have a magical case.
Wait a minute, if you do it with somebody else's sperm, is the husband the kind of mitzvah?
The husband's not the kind of mitzvah, but that does is a halbitzer. Is she a zona? Is the kid a mamzer? That's a bigger question. Yeah. His peru, we'll worry about that.
He definitely was not the kind of mitzvah.
Right. What did he do?
Yeah.
Picked up the bill.
Well, he's evolved, you know?
he told her to breathe and rip sheets. I mean, what did the guy do at the end of the day? So this question of having children without intercourse, right, that opens up lots of questions, both in the case of if it's the husband's or not. So the Gemara actually discusses this as follows. Shalu es ben Zoma. The Gemara in Chagiga has an interesting question. They ask ben Zoma, Besula she'ibra mahu l'kohen gadol. A pregnant virgin, can she marry a kohen gadol? Well, what religion is this? Wait a second. Wait a second. I'm sorry. That was John. Wrong Marakashit.
That's a good
right, Michai Shin with the Shmuel, the Amar Shmuel, Yocha Ani Livo, Kama, Be'ilos Bolodam. The Shmuel said that it's possible, in fact, to have intercourse without ever breaking the hymen. Al Dimlo Shmuel Rosh Chicha, or that's not normal. Amar Rahu, the Shmuel Rosh Chicha, Vecheshin Hashem Ba'ambati Ibra. So now we have a different concern. Right? What's the concern? That perhaps there was a man who was in the bathhouse beforehand, right? Some sperm came out. She went bathing afterwards, and she had a child. Not likely. So, what does it sound like here? There is this case where you have conception without intercourse. That's case number one. Case number two is a very strange case. So, if you thought the first one was strange, you'll love this one. The Maharil, who was the Gadol Hador in the early 15th century from Germany, says, talks about the case of Ben Sira. Ben Sira is one of the books of the Apocrypha. Amar Ben Sira, who noled Mizera Yirmiyahu. We have a tradition that Ben Sira was the son of Jeremiah. The Bas Yirmiyahu haisa rochetzes achar avir bambati chamin, v'kolta zera avir v'nisabu v'yolda. He took a bath, his daughter took a bath afterwards, she became pregnant through it. V'akol me'in alev me'rov chasidusa shalo zinsa. And we know that she was a virgin. He was a little embarrassed that his mother was his mother and his father was his grandfather. You know, this just kind of makes parents, grandparents' days just too confusing. So his name, Ben Sira, he took on because that's the same gematria as Yirmiyahu. Very strange. So again, well, you have a case here of what happened. This child was born. Now, but was Ben Sira a mamzer?
Well, before you said, with artificial insemination, you're a mamzer, she's a zona. But is it having the baby maker a zona?
Oh.
Is it a mamzer, or is it the unlawful intercourse that makes her a zona?
So that's exactly our question here, right? So in the event, let's say there's a man who is sterile, right? This is not a crazy case. And his wife would like to have children, and this man doesn't want to advertise that it's not his children, so he wants to get sperm that are as genetically similar to him as possible. So he turns to his brother and asks for sperm. Okay? Mm-hmm. And with that, they impregnate the wife. What's the status? Is that child a mamzer? So in general, if a man's wife has a child with his brother, that kid's a mamzer. That's. What about this kid here? Because as Dr. Jacobs correctly pointed out, yes, there was an illicit meeting between the sperm and the egg, but there was no illicit intercourse that happened here. So in the case here, right, so the case of Ben Sira, where Ben Sira's mother had a child with Ben Sira's grandfather. In that case, Ben Sira is not a mamzer. So the assumption would be that what, in fact, is causing the status of mamzerus?
It's the act and not the pregnancy.
It is the act, right. So therefore, in our case, where the brother donates the sperm, the logic would follow that the child would not be a mamzer.
How do they know who the father is?
Who's your daddy?
So to speak. But I mean, the guy could be any guy in the
bathhouse. Right?
Mm.
Guess hair color would be the thing.
But, I mean, how does he know it's the grandfather as well?
Well, again, the assumption here is that it was a family bath.
She
gave that. So that's the Maharil. It's very strange. I'll just note that Tzemach David, who lived in the 1600s, says, I don't know where the Maharil got this from. So that's crazy. He just... Ben Sira, Yeshomer Shu, Ben Benoshel, Yoshua, Ben Yehotzodak HaKohen. He said, someone else. Milchute Maharil, Kosov, Ben Sira, Hoya Benoshel, Yirmiyahu, Ben Esavra, Rambati, Kania Kosev, Lo Matzosi, Dovazer, Betalmud, Begame Rabose, Lo Shamati, Shim Zem, Meshuma, Agaro, Medrash. There's no Gemara that says this. There's no Medrash that says this. Nobody, there's no Targumim, no, the Medrash, little Medrash says, nada, nothing, right? It's not there. So that's the second. The Mishnah of Melech quotes these sources. It says, Brisa, v'perak habal, yevimto, v'garasin, v'perak chagiga, sholos ben zoma, besula she'ibra mahu l'koin gadol, mi chayshin l'dishmur, d'mashmur, lo shchicha, v'chayshin n'shema b'ambati ibra. Ad kan. Starts by quoting the Gemara in Chagiga we just did. So you see from here that the assumption is that scientifically this is possible. It is possible that somebody can have children through this method. Okay. So he says, wait a second. We just said what? We said in the event that it's of the brother-in-law who gives the sperm, since there was no intercourse, so therefore there's no mom's age. Does that also mean that there's no relation to the father?
No.
What do you mean?
It's a blood relation, actually.
To the uncle. Father, not to
the biological father. Yeah. To the biological father. That's what he wants to know. When you say that the kid's not a momser, why is he not a momser? Is he not a momser because...
because the act did not happen.
Well, you know the book about people have two mommies? So he's got one mommy, but no daddies. Right? Is that what's going on here? And that's why, because you require the act to get peer reviewed to make fatherhood, and if there's no fatherhood, you can't have momseris? Or is it something else? That's the question.
How did they call him up to the Torah?
What?
How did they call him up to the Torah?
This is not an uncommon question. We have an expert, a Gabbai here. But what happens if a guy's a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father? How do you call him up to the Torah? What? No, he's not a ger.
He's not a ger.
He's not a ger. What?
And his mother's name.
What? So they usually do her mother's father. That's what they usually do, is the mother's father. And what if her mother was Jewish and her father? It's like AP Gabayos in your questions like this.
So what happens with Avelis? If the brother who gave the sperm dies.
So again, that's the question.
The son has to sit Shiva after him. He's the real father or the other father?
Well, again, as we pointed out, we will discuss later on. I don't know if we're going to get to it tonight. When it comes to the mother has involvement in two different ways in birth, right? She provides the egg, and she, of course, carries and delivers the baby. The man's not so involved, right? He provides the sperm.
And goodbye.
Maybe he'll go to Lamaze class. Maybe he won't go to Lamaze class.
Bye.
It's been real. It's been fun. It's been real fun. But, you know, that's right. So the idea is, well, while we can tumble regarding the mother, is it to this, is it to that? With the father, you either provided the sperm or you didn't. Now, even if you provided the sperm, the question is that you still might not be related because it depends on the method of delivery.
So I don't know the answer to the question. Is it?
Do you usually know answer the question before you ask?
No, but you asked it earlier. The one about, what's the relation between the child, the brother's sperm? So is the child his or the one married to the mother?
So again, it's definitely not the one married to the mother.
Okay.
Well, I don't think he's even in the running.
At all. There's no way.
What did he do?
He provided a biological link to himself, is what he did.
Not necessarily.
I mean, that's why he went to his brother.
So he picked. That's what he did, right? He picked who should
be.
What?
You guys are going down the wrong path here.
Donald Schwarzenegger.
Time for Helen to come home.
He wants to keep him in the family. He wants to keep the bloodline.
Great, but so? And if he would have picked someone else, he would have been less of a father?
It's not his line. It's not his family.
Yeah, this isn't, you know.
And we're saying if the act doesn't happen, it's...
I have no responsibility for my brother's kids.
I know that.
You know, so why should he suddenly get credit for his brother's kids? Because he lent his wife?
He's trying to have his own children.
Well, you know, I feel his pain, but this isn't happening. So that's the question. The married guy, he's definitely not the father, but is the other guy the father? That's the question that the Chalkas Mechokek asks. Im kiyim al pirviva v'i mikri b'no l'chol davar. V'ein sofik lo neso l'vatla m'shum de'ein kan bias iser. So here the Mishnah Melech makes the statement which we were all assuming, as long as there was no active intercourse, the kid is fine. V'chei mevor b'gaz ha'smak, me'ara peretz, Heviu habach, etc. V'zelshon isha nidi yachol lishko v'asadine baro v'nizharis misadine shoshachav olem isha acher. So the question is as follows, that the smak, Sefer Mitzvos Ketanos, has an idea that a woman should not sleep on a sheet that a man slept on. Why? Pregnancy. That's the concern. Okay. Whether this is something a person should be concerned about biologically or not, we'll put that aside for now. What about this one? So a woman could sleep on her husband's sheets. Right?
Right.
Right. Worst case scenario ain't so bad. What if she's a Nida?
Probably.
Can she sleep on his sheets then?
Probably.
Why?
Why not? The issue is that he can't have relations with her when she's a Nida.
Right. So again, as we pointed out earlier, no, as long as there's no intercourse, there's no problem here. Right? Now that's going to be a lot more important than it sounds at this point. Right? So as he says, not a problem. Since it's not a problem for her to lie down on the sheets when she's a Nida, you see the whole problem is what? Illicit intercourse.
Right.
It's not having children from other people. If you can pull it off somehow without intercourse, there's no mamzerus here, etc. Is there a relationship? We don't know yet. Why are we concerned she's going to become pregnant from her husband while she is a Nida? And then the child will be a Ben Nida, which is a bad thing. As long as you don't have any intercourse, there's no problem with the kid. Because Ben Sira never had a problem, and he should. And if you tell me that it hasn't, it's not the matter of the act, but rather who's the biological parents, then Ben Sira would have big problems. So why do I care if she sleeps on a bed of another man? Right? I should not care about that either. No, he says, then you've got a problem. The problem is, you're going to think her husband is the father. Really, it's the other guy. And now the kid, when the kid grows up, might marry his sister. Now, that was a big line.
That was a big jump.
Why?
The likelihood.
It was a little hop and a skip, I think, at most.
It's so unlikely.
It's one never know.
Likely.
Well, isn't that a fear? Anytime you have an anonymous donor,
little children, things like that happened after the Holocaust. Little children were separated from their families.
Yes.
They grew as Gentile families.
Yes.
And then when they came out of the Holocaust, became adults. Sometimes boy, girl met and didn't know they were brother and sister.
That wasn't what I was saying was so impossible. I was back with the sheet.
Oh, so yeah, but we're past that already.
Right, but that's what you're saying.
We're on that. We're with him already.
if this, then that. I mean,
So
she can't sleep on anybody else's sheet, not only her husband's, but right. Anyone else's.
Well, for sure, we said that's what we said. That was the first thing.
She could sleep on her husband's sheets.
Right, but not anybody else's. So that's what we said.
Well,
that's what you just said again.
I was. It's like, how likely is that to happen?
Okay, so again, I
don't
know.
Okay, that's
anytime
what I said was a big jump.
Donor. It's going to be a big problem.
Oh, absolutely. But so one second. So what's the concern? Let's just say that over again a little slower so we can analyze it. No, forget the act. We're past that. Can't catch up.
I'm trying.
The concern is the whole reason she can't sleep on another man's sheet is because she might have a child, and that child will accidentally marry a sibling. Who's that child's father?
It's implying that it's the owner of the sperm.
The child that came out of the woman sleeping on another man's sheet.
The owner of the sheet.
Not the owner of the sheet.
The man who donated the sperm.
So is that person considered the father?
It is if you're going to answer
correct.
This child to his daughter.
So this answers the question of the Chalkas Mechokek. The Chalkas Mechokek says the fact that there's no mamzeris. If there's no aktibia, does that also mean there's no relationship? Does that mean there's no peru revu? And from this concern, you see, no, there is. So therefore, now, once we have this under our belt, I could ask you the following question. For whatever reason, a couple has to use artificial insemination. They have a child. Is that child related to the father?
Yes.
Is he mekayem peru revu? It would seem for this. because you have a concern. If it was another guy, there'd be a relationship. So you see here as well. He said, you see from here that that is considered his son totally. That's what the Beis Shmuel says. Since we are concerned that he might marry a sibling, that means the father is a father. And even though there's no mamzerus, you got the best of both worlds here. Now, so what's...
Does that mean that if you needed, if the woman needed to use a sperm donor, it's best to use a relative? Because then there's no chance that they're going to marry a sibling.
Well, as long as you're not anonymous, there's no problem. Doesn't have to be a relative.
Yeah, okay.
As long as it's not anonymous.
Is that a better option than a stranger or somebody from the...
We'll discuss that. We'll have to discuss later on what our options are in that account and whether we allow this at all. Right? We can't get ahead of ourselves. Now, artificial insemination...
We haven't even talked about what happens with the woman. Let's say it's a baby, the husband and wife's baby, but somebody else has the embryo transplanted.
Surrogacy. We're not.
Is the baby the child of the mother who's a surrogate or the mother?
We're not there. We're there with the easy case, which is the father now.
Right.
We're probably, it's seeming less and less likely we can get there tonight as we're under 5% of battery left here.
Does he sit Shiva after her or after the mother who raised him?
Right.
This is
the basic question.
It's not what uncommon happens? For the surrogate mother to say, I'm not giving him up.
Baby M, the famous Baby M case.
Baby M.
Right. Right. So now let's throw out a case here. Okay? This is a common case, actually. Right? A little basic biology. A typical woman's cycle is 28 days. But it's kind of a bell curve. A bunch of women have 28, a lot of women have more than that, a lot of women have less than that. Some have 28, some have 29, some have 30, some have 30.